Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress that is trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. It's a great mattress at a very reasonable price point. Comes with a 20-year warranty and a great deal for our listeners. Douglas is giving you a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. That is douglas.ca/CanadaLand. This episode is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. It's never an easy call with so many problems in the world to know where to direct the money that you donate when you want to help out in this world. But what I can tell you is that when you donate to CAMH, you're saving lives. We know about the opioid crisis. We know about the mental health crisis. They are doing the work. Help change mental health care forever. Your support will help CAMH build a future where no one is left behind. Donate at CAMH.ca/CanadaLand to help us treat addiction and build hope. A Toronto journalist is in hiding. He will not do media appearances or attend public events out of fear for his safety. He released a statement, though, and I want to read you some of this. This is a rough translation of the words of Xin Feng, a writer for the popular Chinese-Canadian website 51.ca. As a columnist in the Chinese-Canadian media, I contributed a critique on a diplomatic incident in Ottawa. To my surprise, my contribution set fire in the Chinese community. Most expressed agreement with my article, but some comments brought about personal attacks, even to death threats. There's a saying, I dispute your viewpoints, but I defend your expression. The majority of Chinese Canadians come from mainland China, which is currently under authoritarian governance, where universal human rights are still under oppression. I'm among them. I came for enjoyment of freedom from fear. I came for human esteem. I enjoy freedom of expression. I do not want to see the nightmare again. I call on our Canadian media peers that we should be vigilant upon the ominous indication in the Chinese Canadian community. It is contagious. So this situation with Xin Feng was not an isolated incident. A popular columnist who writes under the name Gao Bing Chen also wrote critically about the same diplomatic incident. The angry remarks made by China's foreign minister on his recent trip to Canada. He made them when he was challenged by the Canadian press about China's human rights record. Gao Bingchen lost his column for criticizing China's foreign minister, a column that he had been writing for 10 years. There's more still. All of this, by the way, documented in the Globe and Mail by Craig Offman and Nathan Vanderclip. Last summer, the editor of the Canadian Chinese Post was fired after she published a column by a writer named Jonathan Fawn. Now, in all three cases, the writers and editors who were targeted said that the blowback did not simply come from members of the Chinese Canadian community. Instead, they all believe that the consequences they suffered were directly the result of influence and control that the Communist Party of China in Beijing has over the Canadian Chinese press. Now, since Xin Feng has gone into hiding, he's been represented by Jonathan Fawn, who I mentioned earlier. Jonathan is a journalist, and he is also a paralegal here in Toronto. And Jonathan Fawn joins me in a moment. Wait for it. This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Jean-Claude Hauschkorn, Les Wong, Benjamin King, Evelyn Hornbeck, Sheena Gibbs, Sarah Dion, Mike Gifford, and Therese Taylor. Therese, why did you decide to be awesome?
Mainstream media is really just too tight with corporate Canada and the status quo. And independent media like Canada Land helps shake up the media establishment.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's amazing the things that we tell ourselves to talk ourselves out of getting help. Anybody who's actually gotten help knows that the process of getting things off your chest, of taking your stressors, your problems, and just like not letting them be bottled up, working through just conveying them to somebody, half of the battle is just doing that. You unburden yourself. And you know what? If you have a real mental health professional, no, they don't have magic bullets or magic words that make it all go away. But often they can help you see things a little bit differently and guide you to strategies or tools or to a new perspective that actually does help. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Because you listen to this podcast, you get 10% off of your first month at BetterHelp.com/CanadaLand. That's BetterHelp.com/CanadaLand. This episode is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. Trust is important. There are a lot of mattress lies out there, a lot of mattress liars. And I didn't intend the pun, but it occurred to me that there is one as I was saying those words. Listen, I am not lying to you. I have experienced the Douglas mattress. It is an exceptional mattress at a surprisingly affordable price point. It is a mattress that sleeps cool, doesn't have that weird thing in the summer where the mattress gets like an oven. It's a very good product. It's delivered to your house in a box. You don't have to go to a big mattress store. It is a medium firm mattress, which is what Canadians prefer, and it comes with a 365-night trial and a 20-year warranty. What more can I tell you? Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. This episode is also brought to you by CampTech. CampTech provides workshops for grown-ups who want to learn how to do computers better. I was just talking to somebody who was like trying to decide whether or not they're going to have to fire their assistant because this incredibly competent person just won't learn digital skills. And I think it's not just older people, like even those of us who are digitally literate, we have these blind spots. Like we never learn how to use, I don't know, analytics or spreadsheets. And it sort of gets filed under that same category that a lot of older people file all of digital skills. I think that that's bullshit. It is not too late to learn. It is never too late to learn. You might want to try a CampTech course, because CampTech offers half-day to full-day digital skill workshops, and you just learn practical stuff hands-on with very friendly and competent instructors. And because we increasingly need to know this stuff for our jobs, CampTech is now offering certificates that prove that you have the skills to do this stuff. It shows your employers what you know.
We're also really, really happy to put an instructor in a car, on a plane, on a train, anywhere, and we'll send them to you so that they can really get a sense of what you're doing in-house with your own stuff. It stops being theoretical and just starts being really practical.
If you have a blind spot or if you're in between jobs and you need to beef up your resume, these courses start at $85. Again, it's a half day to a full day course. Go to camptech.ca right now. The courses are offered in Toronto, Vancouver, and in Ottawa. Check it out now, camptech.ca. This episode is also brought to you by Casper Mattresses. Casper, of course, makes obsessively engineered mattresses, and they offer them at shockingly fair prices. They have gotten rid of the big showroom. They have gotten rid of this idea that you've got to test out 20 mattresses. No, they've figured out the most comfortable mattress. I sleep on one every night. I can vouch for this mattress. It combines springy latex and supportive memory foam to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. Time magazine, mattress experts, apparently, named it one of the best inventions of 2015. In fact, it is now the most awarded mattress of the decade. I have not been to the Mattress Awards, but I believe that this is true. They offer free shipping and returns in Canada. This is a wonderful feature, by the way. You can try it for 100 nights. They send it to you in a box. Try it for 100 nights, risk-free in your own home. And if you do not love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. These mattresses, my friends, are made in America. More to the point, they are very reasonably priced
And you'll get $50 off of these reasonable prices if you go to casper.com/CanadaLand right now and use the offer code CanadaLand towards the purchase of a mattress. $50 off an already cheap and wonderful mattress that has made my sleeping life a lot better. Terms and conditions apply. casper.com/CanadaLand. Check it out.
You know, for real people, it's funny. Like when you say, where are you from? We don't think as a geographically, say it's a surrounding from the north, is it from China or from Shanghai? Like that way, you know, that means typically psychological a mind of newcomers. They still haven't settled down yet, I think, from not here.
You thought I was asking, are you from China or not?
The first instinct, yes. I said, well, what's the kind of question I have to prepare to give the answer.
No, I mean, which neighborhood are you coming from?
Yeah, no, I say I am from north. I don't say I'm from across the Pacific.
I'll let you in on a secret. I kind of knew you were originally from China.
You're from, originally from New York in China?
What part of China?
Shanghai.
From Shanghai. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's start with what happened most recently.
Okay, sure.
So, Jonathan, you are a paralegal.
I'm a paralegal licensed.
And you are Xin Feng's
friend. We know each other more than 10 years.
You have been speaking to the media about Xin Feng because he does not feel safe to do that himself.
That's correct. Because I'm just I use the word as attorney, not like a legal counsel, legal representative on himself, because he feels scared to be exposed to the public. People know him. Suppose at night that people follow him, give him a stone or give him a spitter or even give him a knife. So he still feels scared, and that his wife is not feel comfort. Scary.
He is a Canadian.
He, like me, from Shanghai.
But he lives here.
Yes, he lives here. He's a Canadian. Yes.
Why would he need to be afraid of somebody stabbing him if he comes and speaks on this podcast?
You know, don't want trouble before trouble troubles you. You know, the people should have wisdom and the smart.
It wouldn't be wise for him to invite. It
should avoid some incident happen. That's much more a smart issue.
Right.
Behavior.
More wise to avoid an incident. So let's back up and start at the beginning.
Yeah.
Xin Feng was a columnist, a writer for
51CA. It's a website.
So, and what is 51CA? It's a website. It's a Chinese language website.
It's have a popular circulation in the Chinese community. You can pick a copy at a supermarket around Friday afternoon or Friday morning. However, he has enjoyed very much population is in the website.
Most people read it online, but they have a weekly print edition as well.
Yes, you're right.
Okay. And what did Xin Feng write that resulted in these death threats and now he feels like he can't make public appearances?
Because he gave the comment on the that's a funny performance or outrageous performance about the Chinese foreign minister, Mr. Wang Yi. People don't like to say that. And say, hey, this is not good behavior. Even you are a veteran diplomat, you should be nice because you represent the face, the image of your country, your state, actually. So you should, like, well-educated, a scholastic person, present even the points people don't enjoy, don't people love it, but you have to send or sell your words in a very kind way, not like this.
And what you're referring to is the recent visit of the Chinese foreign minister, Wang Yi, where a reporter from iPolitics questioned him about China's human rights record, especially since there's a Canadian who's detained in China right
now. Yeah, that's true, as a Kevin Garrett and other Chinese Canadians hostage or kidnapped from outside of part of the sovereignty of the Chinese.
Who was?
Dr. Wang, kidnapped from Thailand.
From Thailand.
And the other one in Chinese called Yu Sanjiang. And he is the person living at the Xinjiang special region. And he also has the Canadian citizenship.
Yeah.
And he was kidnapped from the neighboring country from China. So these two it's also Canadian citizenship, so they're Canadians.
They're Canadians.
They're Canadians.
And you say that they were kidnapped, and then Mr. Garrett was within China
for 15 years already,
and is also a prisoner. So this reporter was saying, what about these people's human rights, and what about the wider issue of human rights in China?
Yeah.
And just to remind our listeners, the Chinese foreign minister
actually, this question is not directed to Mr. Wang Yi. Actually, the lady offered the question to Stephen Dion.
The question, she asked Stephen Dion the question?
Yes, and suddenly the Mr. Chinese foreign minister jump in, took out his job, and spread such kind of fuzzy words.
Oh, I must have missed that in the
original
reporting.
Yeah, you had to notice the details like that.
So she asked Stephen Dion, and then the Chinese foreign minister.
He jumped in. It's not business, actually.
Not his business. Well, I certainly did read his response, which was, he said this was a prejudiced, arrogant question. She had no business asking this question.
Yeah.
Stephen Dion just sort of stood there.
Yeah, that's right. You got it. You catch the sight. Yeah. So I don't want to get a blame on Mr. Devon, because I think he is a veteran diplomat.
A veteran diplomat. He was being very diplomatic. But.
Yeah, I can guess from his record that he has a foreign minister in the previous liberal federal government.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's received some criticism that it would have been appropriate for him to have said something.
I think for him, in such a scene, you cannot lose your control and put a finger at his counterpart from China, say, oh, no, shut up. This is not your home, okay? Yeah.
His place to jump in. I mean, this is debatable. I would say that Stephen Dion would have been well within his position as a diplomat to say, look, you've got our citizens imprisoned. We have a tradition of a free press in this country. That question is the kind of question that gets asked here. So he didn't do that. He didn't say anything. But okay, to get back to the narrative here, Xin Feng in his column did say something.
Yeah.
He offered a rebuke to the Chinese foreign minister. And then there was such a backlash, as I understand it, to what he wrote that he received death threats.
That's right. Two items, two entries on there.
And then what did 51.ca do?
They want to cover the incidents. For the Kevin Lee, editor-in-chief.
Yeah.
He just want to smooth down the incident. No more get bigger.
Smooth it over.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And Xin Feng has issued a statement saying, I'll read from a statement that he put out, the translation. There's a saying, I dispute your viewpoints, but I defend the expression of viewpoints.
Yeah. Yeah.
Such rough and abusive manner and even criminal behavior, he's referring to the comments he received, represent an invasion of evil ideology contaminating the Canadian common values, namely democracy and freedom. I call on our Canadian media peers that we should be vigilant upon the ominous indication in the Chinese community. It is contagious and infectious to undermine the Canadian basic values. I mean, it's pretty, he's responding to some pretty troubling comments that he received on 51.ca.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody commented, I've already reached the boss at 51.ca. And I have received Xin Feng's address. Planned to go to his home and slaughter the man. It is not a man, but a pig. To slaughter the pig. And the other commenter said, be careful or you'll have your family slaughtered in all. Be careful if you're out.
Yeah.
I mean, those types of threats are against the law in Canada.
In our country, in our society, it's a really serious, serious situation and the criminal violence.
Yes. And the police are looking into this.
Yes, that's true. And Xin Feng pay a visit in person to the police station, because there is a Chinese-speaking police officer, so easier to deal with that situation with him.
Yeah.
The officer really very serious about that, because they follow in the definition for death threat, because they use slaughter, and that word.
Pretty clearly a death threat there.
That's not have the vague border or just around the borderline. No, exactly death threat.
Yeah, so they're going to try to trace that, and the cops are taking it seriously.
So, yeah.
But I want to keep unraveling this, because it just gets more and more interesting, and it's not an isolated incident. I mean, also, another columnist wrote a response to what happened when the Chinese foreign minister was here, Gao Bingchen.
Okay.
A columnist for the Global Chinese Press in Burnaby, BC.
Yeah.
And that columnist was then fired.
Yes, that's true.
Why did that happen?
this person, the columnist in Vancouver, Bandabi, he for 11 years involved in the column in the Global Chinese Press.
Yeah.
It's based there. So he also like free ideas and enjoyed the freedom of expression. So he stay here and deliver his writings and comment whatever situations in the Chinese community back in the China for these political issues or political incidents there. Since he received the information or got the news about the Mr. Wang Yi's as a bad behavior, a bad performance as a diplomat from China. So he gave him, maybe give him a hard time. I did not read exactly the original version of the Mr. Gao's criticism. However, I read his Demokili article about Mr. Michael Chen. This is a crown minister of Ontario, crown minister. Now he holding the office's international trade. Previously, he was a minister of the citizenship, immigration, and international trade.
Okay, so he had previously criticized Michael Chen, the member of provincial parliament here in Ontario, and those two incidents combined led to him being fired. And in fact, he says that when he asked his boss why he was fired, his editor said, some people don't want to see your name in the newspaper.
That's true.
And they said, you could write under a pen name, but some people don't want to see your name in the newspaper. Now, this takes us to Michael Chan. Michael Chan is somebody who you have written about as well.
Yes.
So this is where we need to give some background on what happened to Helen Wang,
yeah,
the former editor at the Canadian Chinese Post. She published a piece by you.
Yes, by me.
Where you chastise Michael Chan. I'll try to summarize what I understand you wrote, and you tell me if I've got it right.
Okay.
So Michael Chan was in a very strange set of communications from CSIS. CSIS said that, yes, they had been basically investigating,
yeah,
a couple of elected officials, feeling that they were under influence by Beijing.
You are right.
And the Globe and Mail reported that one of those elected officials was Michael Chan.
That's true.
And Michael Chan is now suing the Globe and Mail for saying that.
Yes, so far.
Michael Chan is in the Kathleen Wynne cabinet here in Ontario. She says that there's no substance to these allegations. CSIS didn't even investigate. They were just sort of looking at him.
Even the previous government, McGuinty.
Right. Yeah. And back through McGuinty. Michael Chan completely denies this. He's suing the Globe and Mail. And in fact, Michael Chan said in response to these allegations that it was not just a smear against him, but it is a racist smear against the Chinese people,
yeah,
of Canada.
So
that it basically is causing people to question the loyalty of Canadian Chinese citizens.
Yeah.
If I understand what you wrote correctly, you said that's ridiculous for him to play the race card like that. This is about Michael Chan. This is not...
That's right. That's my position.
That was your position.
I think for Michael Chan, that just used the Chinese community as a hostage.
He took the community hostage. Uh-huh.
He just used or even fused the Chinese concerns about, I will say, even some veteran overseas Chinese here, they say, oh, let's say we still haven't forget that early 50s, last century, incidents happened in mainstream. They hate Chinese. So they think people suspicious about the Chinese loyalty. So I don't agree with that. I say, hey, you are just you. You are the person. Even I think CSIS really concerned about your behavior because he care about you. You are high-ranked official. You're a crown minister. You have certain firm confidential and sensitive information around you. If you do not pay much more conscience to keep a distance from some other sources, you're really in danger. And when you in danger, your reputation, your future is gone, but the security of the country also under danger.
Right. That it's, you're saying that it's fair to ask whether or not he's influenced.
So
So you wrote your opinion about Michael Chen.
Yeah.
It sounds like a legitimate point of view to me.
Yeah.
What happened next to you with this paper?
To me, I don't think it's a visible something if packed on me because I'm a freelance person. Also, I have my career like a paralegal.
Yeah.
And I'm busy around the court in and out. However, the Miss Helen Wang
is
a real victim.
she lost her job. And she tells a story of being surveyed at work and slowly frozen out.
Yes. Yeah, right, true.
So, and she believes that this is because she, and in fact.
Definitely not believe exactly. This is the fact.
This is a fact. And well, I can tell you what is a fact that was a public fact. When your writing disappeared in the wake of your editor's departure, it was replaced with columns by Michael Chan.
Yes. Yes. The space was occupied by Michael's contribution. Afterwards, the newspaper just temporarily closed.
So let's talk about what is underlying all of these different occasions of columnists losing their jobs, of people getting death threats.
Yeah.
51.ca, I don't know exactly what's going on behind the scenes there. You say the editor wanted to smooth things over. The Canadian Chinese Post, the Global Chinese Press. Why would all of these different Canadian publications be under influence by Beijing? What possible influence could Beijing have over independent Canadian press? Or let's just say Canadian press.
Yeah, yeah. I think there are two aspects in France. One from inside. They still think there's Chinese subject, not Canadian citizen. So the people still have think they're not like independent identity. They have some belong the subject. As I will use to say, they still think they are Chinese subject. If you live in the Chinese community, you smell and feel and hear his image, his voice.
Whose image?
Shade. Who's Chinese regime.
The Chinese regime.
Yeah.
I mean, just to kind of connect these dots in a very practical sense, the Canadian Chinese Post, I think it used to be.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's in the history, yes.
It used to be called the Red Army Post,
yeah,
right?
I've been here for more than 20 years. I read that newspaper, China Canada Post.
Yeah.
And have inserted in the People's Daily Overseas Version.
The People's Daily gives most of the content, which is government
That's
news
government organs.
From Beijing.
From Beijing.
And yes. Then they have some local Canadian.
That's a local People's Daily, so I call it. Inserted the Chinese edition. That deliver overseas edition deliver in among the.
And if you go to their office here in Toronto, it is also the office of the Confederation of Toronto Canadian Chinese Organizations,
yeah,
which CSIS calls an agent of influence for Beijing.
That's true.
And the proprietors are one and the same.
Yeah.
So there seems to be a very direct ownership, proprietary relationship there to Beijing.
You can use the.
A connection, anyhow.
Yeah, I can see the connection on the book, the accounting book, or you can see the cash flow from there, from here, but you cannot catch that. People smart also, and you cannot catch, but you can feel that.
You can feel it.
Because the head of the CT, the Chinese.
The CTCCO.
CTCCO's president, he is the supermarket chain owner. He used that word to say, if you don't carry such kind of news reports, like we appreciate, we don't provide you ads.
Right.
So you may see that.
Uh-huh.
So they just hold your throat. Say, hey, you listen, you don't listen, no food for you.
So I think the influence is, if I understand it properly, it's because many Canadian Chinese have relatives in China. Many Canadian Chinese do business with China.
Yes.
And then if we could take this, some of these organizations actually have direct links. Your theory is that there's actually a psychological sense of.
This is one also, like you mentioned, that they have the relationships back in China because of the motherland.
Uh-huh.
So the power there still use that benefit or advantage, use that to put pressure on you. If you go back to the business, yes, you can get a good deal, big deal as benefit for your own interest.
You can get a better
however,
deal.
However, you have to deal with, for these guys, I mean, back in China, they're very much politics oriented. They think their identity should be spread out in the world. You can use economical price to buy these kind of things to do in exchange.
Right. Well, the conflation of economics with politics seems to be blurred to the point of being indistinguishable. Like the PRC as a political party, but also representing China as a economic superpower, it seems to be that if you're in good with Beijing, you can do business with China, and it's sort of one and the same.
Yes.
It is disturbing, though, to like sense that this is almost like trumping our autonomy to have a free expression of ideas. I mean, I know a lot of Chinese people who came here because they're fleeing or their fathers were fleeing the People's Revolution. They were in prison. They were rebels against what was happening. How much of this actually reflects what Canadian Chinese people, and I don't mean to suggest that Canadian Chinese people think one thing.
Even Jesse.
But where are the sympathies at?
Not only sympathy. It's so funny. Like, I always use that word to say the Stockholm syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Even right. These people you mentioned, they be experienced oppression. When they fled here, when you get a decent living up here, they still goes back, like I used the word patriotism.
Patriotism.
Patriotism or loyalty to the motherland.
Yeah, that they are sympathetic towards their own oppressors, their own kidnappers.
Yeah.
But then I was reading, I'm just trying to gauge whether, I mean, look, if it's a fact that a lot of Canadian Chinese people are allied with Beijing, sympathetic to Beijing, then, you know, maybe the press is just reflecting the views of the people, but I'm not sure. There was some reporting from the Globe and Mail saying that talk radio says that 80% of the people who've been calling in were also critical of Michael Chan. Jason Kenney said that he was at a Michael Chan event where he was speaking to a Chinese audience in speaking in Mandarin.
You cannot speak much more competently speak Mandarin, but he picked up his Mandarin very much.
And he said, it was translated for Jason Kenney, he said, long live the motherland.
Yeah, I think so.
According to Jason Kenney, that's what he said.
According to the Jason Kenney, even you, according to the journalist from Xinhua News Agency, that's back in history when Michael Chan was invited to stand on the forum to watch the national parade for the he just said, "Hey, how strong my motherland?"
Maybe that's outside of the purview of this podcast to figure out whether or not CSIS's suspicions about Michael Chan are valid or not, but. You know, this is tricky stuff to talk about. It's tricky stuff for the non-Chinese language Canadian press to because nobody wants to be called a racist, right?
Yeah.
And we're in a moment right now where nobody wants to question the loyalties of Canadian Chinese people. That's a very dangerous precedent with historical...
Yeah, well, some people think about the last century 50s area, even in the U.S. having such a political pressure on the citizens.
Sure.
Yeah.
No. Red Scare stuff. But you know, we're in a moment right now where it seems to be kind of crossing over into issues of foreign ownership of property in Vancouver and to a lesser extent in Toronto.
This is not like isolated that you can look at that. So like this, you may see all the good timing or what coincidentally. No, I don't think you can see the invisible control from somewhere.
Well, it's a massive global economic superpower, and you can just Stefan Dion like standing there dumbfounded. Yeah. You know, you feel Canada needs to have a decent economic relationship.
Yeah, in comparison with the worldwide view and the Vancouver and Toronto, it's not like far from each other, right?
What is your sense of is the Stockholm syndrome that you refer to is still alive and well with younger Canadian Chinese?
I don't think for the youngers because they grew up here and receive the education, and they think their identity belong to Canada.
Yeah,
not like they think. For my son, he brought in here at 11 years old, and at that time when he gave the primary education, the secondary, that time he think, "Oh, I'm Chinese." Now I ask him, "Where you belong to?" He says, "I'm Canadian."
Yeah.
Now even he moved to the U.S. Now working in the U.S. is very typical. Say, "I'm Canadian." Sure.
there's no hangover there or fear.
Come back to your question. Say, hey, the Stockholm syndrome, the group is like newcomers, the first generation.
Yeah.
Like the people have education received in China. They get adulthood spent in China, then come over here as immigrants. And also, these influence from overseas work on these people. And they want to show their good performance, their loyalty, their patriotism.
Yeah.
Towards that, they're very much involved.
Uh-huh.
So they're to give the death threats to the Xin Feng. I think that should be under such kind of a background. Well, can understand that.
And that makes a certain amount of sense. There's aspects of this that are More concerning just in a practical, like there's a news story that I don't think we fully understand yet. When we see these sort of unsettled questions about Michael Chan, and he had these two aides, mm-hmm. one of whom was had a background in setting up protests and counter-protests, and another aide who had a background in removing anti-Beijing criticism from the internet.
Yeah.
And he hired them. Yeah. As minister here, and then one of them is now a press secretary for Kathleen Wynne.
Yes, that's in the cabinet office, yes.
And Michael Chan, of course, received criticism for working with the Confucius Institute.
Yeah, that's all things in the newspaper, it's true.
Yeah, the Globe has been sort of diligently reporting this and facing litigation as a result. I don't want to go on some sort of paranoid tangent, but... Can someone explain to me what these connections are or whether or not they're a cause for concern?
I don't think we have talking about something personally, but however, since Michael Chan is a public person and he is an elected officer, I don't think he is like belong to the personal perspective. So everything belong to his, I think we put on the table to talk about.
Sure, he's an elected official. We can talk about these things publicly.
For example, just mentioned one of his staffers is very good at the pen, as a writer, this, even under his name and the contributions, I can guess, I dare to say, from the person. Now, he is... The person led a Chinese Canadians or Chinese immigrants go to the Parliament Hill and waving the Chinese national flag more than Canadian national flag against the Tibetan independence flag.
Uh-huh.
So I think they called that incident in the newspaper as reflecting such kind of a demonstration once took place in the Parliament Hill. Loading the CSIC, hey, this is still on the Canadian soil. Why you see a red sea of flags?
Uh-huh.
Not like a maple red.
Right. So he led a pro-Beijing kind of counter-protest when there were people who were protesting about Tibetan freedom.
Yeah, you're right.
And now he's hired by the government.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Not high by government. Yes, you may say high by government, but high by the Michael Chan's
office. Michael Chan, right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Are there avenues, Jonathan, in the Canadian-Chinese press, we've talked about three examples, 51.ca, Canadian-Chinese Post, Global Chinese Press. I think that a lot of people don't realize just how vibrant and how the circulation numbers are so big. Like, there's this whole other press. In Chinese language press, there's a whole other press in the foreign language press in Canada. It's something that we want to do a better job of talking about. We talk about columnists like yourselves and Xin Feng losing their voice in these publications and the influence. Does that mean that there isn't a voice? Are there other places that we're not even talking about? Is it a varied media scene?
Okay. Now, if you focus back to the Chinese community, really the press space is diminishing so much. You can feel the walls against you.
Uh-huh.
You cannot stretch your arms out. You still have something restricted at you. I'll tell you the general picture of the circulation, newspaper circulation or media circulation in Chinese community. Actually, there are three daily papers, two paid, and one is for free. Yes, Epoch Time is for free. The other two paid. Now, just back to the press conference recently held about the Xin Feng's incident.
Yeah, the death threats.
No news report in Chinese community.
Nobody showed up from the Chinese community.
No newspaper reported.
Right. No Chinese press.
Even like to pay the daily. They didn't touch it. One always don't touch that things deaf to this such kind of incidents. The other one touch enough, just like on the borderline. They have hesitance. I can see that.
Who's that?
That's Mingbo Tele. He once touch it, and now about this time he don't want to do it.
Yeah.
The chief of the editing chief said we don't touch a topic.
Right.
Even. Usually, a reporter assigned to such kind of scenes, events. On that special day, she got very A normal assignment asks her to stay half a day in the province parliament to get some report, to isolate her. So can say that so far, no news circulation weekly or daily papers to report Xin Feng's news conference in uh-huh. Chinese community.
What about the Epoch Times?
Epoch is exceptional, you know, because he's based on the Falun Gong. Yes, Falun Gong, these guys, now is a public enemy in Chinese community because Chinese communists against them, defend them.
The Falun Gong, we see them protesting almost every day, and yeah. these peaceful protests are just...
In front of the Chinese Consul General or,
yeah.
or in some corner of the mall in Chinese community
yeah.
weekly. So they're the public enemy in the Chinese communist eyes. So his subjects don't love them.
Uh-huh.
But however, the Epoch Times, because it's a free circulation, so still have the big circulation.
People read it, yeah.
People read it.
Jonathan, thank you.
No problem.
Quick note before I close the show today. We asked Minister Michael Chan to come on the show and respond to some of the things you heard today. He chose not to appear on the show, but he did provide a written statement. I will read it now. From Minister Michael Chan. I have released several statements regarding my ongoing litigation with the Globe and Mail. I have attached them to this email, and I have no further comment on that matter. We'll put those statements up on our website, by the way, if you want to read them. Continuing with Michael Chan's statement, your request mentioned the comments made by Jason Kenney that were reported in the Globe and Mail on June 8, 2016. Mr. Kenney's comments related to things he claims to have witnessed at a Chinese cultural event are categorically false and completely untrue. The events he described simply did not occur. As a Canadian, I support the press freedoms guaranteed by our Constitution and believe they should be upheld and defended. However, freedom of the press does not equate to a license to defame. That's your Canada Land show. I hope you liked it. You can email me anytime. I'm at jesse@canadalandshow.com and I will read what you send me and I'll respond when I can. We're on Twitter at CanadaLand. Our website is CanadaLandShow.com. Our crowdfunding site is Patreon.com/CanadaLand. CanadaLand Commons is off this week because Kevin Sexton, the show's producer, is on his honeymoon. Congratulations, Kevin and Jess. It will be back next week. Canada Land Shortcuts will be up on Thursday. I make this show with Katie Jensen. We syndicate the show for free. To community and campus radio stations across the country, and Russell Gragg takes care of that. If you like what we do, please support us. Hey, I need you to pay close attention to this message. It is not an ad. This is about Canada Land, and this is about you. You need to know that the news crisis is about to get a lot worse. You've heard about the layoffs. We're about to have news closures, and it's very likely that we're going to be seeing the defunding of the CBC. Where are you going to get your information from? What can you do about this? You can support Canada Land. We need you to. And so for this month and this month only, you can become a Canada Land supporter and get everything our supporters get for just $2 a month. That is an almost 80% discount. The clock is ticking on this. It disappears at the end of the month, and then we will not offer it. We need your support. We need to keep news coverage alive in Canada. Go right now to canadaland.com/join. And thank you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello? Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.